Look, I think the main thing we've noticed more recently that's becoming really, really critical, and it's really a business 101 thing, but in the past we could get away with not having one, and that's a USP.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here, and we're always interested to speak to people in the business services industry because the internet is something businesses cannot avoid. I was having lunch with a financial controller the other day from a large organization, and he was extremely interested in everything internet because it's become apparent that in his business they need to be aware of it. And on the other side of the fence, we have all these internet marketers who have the internet marketing skills but desperately need to learn how to talk to these businesses and how to communicate with them. So what I've done is I've gone out and get our repeat offender guest, I guess you'd call him, Kyle Tully. Welcome.
Hey, James. Good to be here once again. How are you?
Good. We've had lots of discussions before. We've put several interviews up on internet marketing speed. You're a regular contributor to my Fast Web Formula community at fastwebformula.com. You've spoken at the Fast Web Formula live events, always a popular session. And I think that is because we are in the most amazing time where if you possess a fraction of internet marketing skills and you combine that with some business knowledge, you have a wonderful business opportunity to go out there and serve these businesses for profit. I'd love you to tell me, firstly, if you agree with that, and secondly, what sort of things have you been up to with your consulting tycoon products and communities?
Yeah, look, I mean, I definitely agree with that. We're certainly in a time, especially in the last year or two, where businesses are becoming a lot more savvy about the internet, either progressing from, you know, not believing in it at all to realizing that they do need to do something about it. And on another level, progressing from trying to do something about it to getting a lot more serious about it and starting to track return investment and all this kind of stuff. So it's a really good time for people like you and me who, you know, have some basic internet marketing skills and can take these to the offline world, because they really are getting a lot more up to speed than they ever have before, which is actually making it easier for us to do our jobs in terms of selling them. Because before, we kind of had to educate them on the internet and really sort of get them to take a chance on us and on the internet. Whereas now they see lots of other success stories. They really do realize that the internet is the way forward. And it's a very easy conversation to have with them. It's a lot easier to get money and get good money out of them, because they're naturally transitioning funds from other marketing activities to the internet. And it's now a choice of who they're going to work with and what particular strategies they're going to focus on, rather than, you know, whether they should use the internet at all or not.
Yeah, so I'm thinking of that bell curve where you have the innovators and then the early majority, you know, and that the big fat part of the python is yet to come, you know, the late majority and the laggards. So I wonder what the changes are. You know, if I think back to when we first met, it must have been something like 5 years ago, maybe 4 to 5 years ago. We were both dealing with customers. We were both doing this offline thing when it sort of hit the internet marketing scene. And you'd been doing copywriting and web development before that. And I had been running a dealership, but learning how to build websites. And you're right, we did have to educate people, and there wasn't necessarily an awareness of it or an allocated fund. So we've seen the changes now where businesses would even have a part of their marketing budget allocated to online media. And what can we do as internet marketing experts to take advantage of that budget? How do we actually make it happen where that part of the budget gets directed into our bank account for providing a solution? What are the steps or the methods that we can use to make them aware of us? And then the next logical step is for them to feel that we are the right person to be dealing with.
Look, I think the main thing we've noticed more recently that's becoming really, really critical, and it's really a business 101 thing, but in the past we could get away with not having one, and that's a USP. That's having some unique reason why someone should choose you over the competition. Now, a couple of years ago, it was good enough just to go in there and kind of pitch them on the idea of the internet and you kind of either get the job or you wouldn't. And it was relatively easy to do that, even though you had to educate. Whereas now, there's lots of people saying, you know, the internet, SEO, PPC, there's lots of people with the same basic message of, you know, you need to be doing something on the internet. And it's becoming really important now to have some kind of unique reason why they should choose you to, you know, perhaps specialize in a particular area, whether it be a particular market or niche segment, whether it be a particular type of result or a particular strategy such as SEO or PPC, and really working at being the best in your little small unique field. And then obviously, you know, the way you get in front of them is via marketing. And, you know, that's really all it comes down to is, or that's the key driver that we've seen is been the big difference in people's businesses between those who are having big success and those who are still kind of struggling, is the ones who are getting really clear on exactly what they do, who they do it for, and the solutions they provide and benefits they give their clients. They're the ones who are having a much easier time now. So we've spent a lot of time, particularly with my students, on helping them, you know, craft USPs and get clear on who they're targeting. And we've found once you do get clear on that, all the other stuff like marketing and copywriting and, you know, what to actually say becomes a lot simpler because you have a really clear idea of who you're talking to, and you can picture who they are. You can really think about the actual problems they've got, not the sort of generic problems of an entire market, but the specific problems about this individual with his type of business.
Okay, so let's just dig into that a bit. What do you say to someone when they say, oh, Kyle, should we specialize in just do SEO or just do websites or just do PPC, or should they be a one-stop solution for the customer? How does someone know what their differentiation actually is?
So there's no real right or wrong answer. Part of it comes down to the business that you want to create, you know, based on your own unique background and skills and specialties and everything. And I mean, you only need to look at the market to see that there's lots and lots of success stories, both people who are very much generalists who provide everything from websites to traffic to conversion to analytics stuff and everything in between. And lots of success stories of people who are very specialized, whether they be just PPC experts or SEO experts, or only focus on one particular niche. So, you know, there's no right or wrong answer to that. I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, you and the business you want to create. However, you know, you can, whether you're going to be a generalist or specialist, you can still target your marketing in a specialized fashion. You know, some of the most successful generalists I know, they still have a USP based around, for example, something like lead generation, you know, something that is a common thread across many different markets, you know, a lot of different business sectors. They refer to their, you know, marketing problems as a lead generation problem. And so as much as this company, you know, might be a generalist in terms of the services they provide, they very much specialize in the messaging they use and the language they use.
Love it. And I guess there are other things they could differentiate as well. They might specialize in a particular vertical, like just serve one type of customer, like one industry classification.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's lots of case studies out there and lots of good examples to model of people who have a very specialized business, whether it be, you know, just targeting dentists or just targeting lawyers or just about any other niche out there. And that's a fantastic way to go. We've got some good success stories starting to come out of our program for people who have specialized in that manner. And, you know, it's a simple thing to envision why it would be more successful that way. When you think about, you know, you're an accountant, you're sitting at your office and you get two letters come in. One of them's from a, you know, be all and end all marketing company saying we'll help you grow your business, and the other one's from, you know, the accountant practice growth specialist. It's a no-brainer for him which one feels like the more logical fit. And, you know, in every niche we look at, there's plenty of opportunity out there, plenty of clients who are willing to spend money. Most of our students are only working with sort of 5 to 10 clients at one time. So most of the markets you'd look at, you know, there's plenty of opportunity and plenty of prospects out there for you to target.
Right. So in terms of devices that people could use to come up with the ability to specialize, I guess the thing that's coming to my mind is a technique like using filters. For example, my coaching in Silver Circle is kind of generalist. I can deal with most different verticals and I can deal with different, you know, different types of industries. But my filter is a cutoff point of the income or revenue that people should be generating before I would like to work with them, because I know the sweet spot where I can really get a maximum result. So that I would call that a filter. A filter's useful in helping people differentiate. In other words, working out who they shouldn't be dealing with.
Oh, most definitely. Some of my filters, the criteria, I call them, that I've had for my business for a long time, my sweet spot, so to speak, have been businesses in the $2 to $10 million range. I found that in that range, they're big enough that, you know, they've got marketing budgets, they're spending money on marketing, they've kind of figured out how to sell their product or service. And, you know, it's a lot easier for me to come in and then, you know, ramp up what they've got going. I found businesses smaller than that, you know, a little bit too chaotic, don't really know what they're doing, often don't have marketing budgets to support what I want to do. And then businesses above the $10 million range, in general, there tends to be too much red tape and too many layers of management to deal with, too much bureaucracy. So I found that sort of range, the $2 to $10 million range is a really good one. I've also found things like if they've got a marketing department or a marketing manager can sometimes be a good filter. I mean, obviously, there's tons of other filters based around things like the actual business size. Problems are a really good one. You know, targeting a particular type of client with a specific problem. One of my students at the moment is specializing in conversion rate optimization, particularly for people who are using AdWords to drive traffic. So already he's got a fairly specialized niche, you know, targeting just one traffic source with just one service. But he's also going one level deeper and looking for people who specifically have problems with, you know, lead generation or the actual conversion of a single page on their website. So you can take it down to a very small level. And even at that level, there's still literally dozens and dozens and dozens of prospects who fit that ideal client profile.
Right. So, and you know, what comes to mind for me is one of our services specializes in reputation management. And we could even sub-niche that into reputation management for politicians or reputation management for celebrities. So we could really tailor our marketing just to talk to that specific person. And I imagine that specific person hearing from us would really resonate with us thinking we are a good match for their problem.
Well, it's funny you mentioned reputation management. I've actually got a student who's just niched herself in the reputation management for lawyers market and just started sending out her first direct mail campaigns ever the other day. And she's already gotten two responses from that. One of them was actually from a lawyer who doesn't need reputation management but knows a whole bunch of other people who do. So just that power of saying, I'm a specialist at this, can start generating lots of different results that you might not have expected, like referrals and endorsements and all these kind of things that if you're a generalist, there's no way that same response would have happened.
Perfect. Okay, so we've covered the differentiation aspect of it. We've given some suggestions on how people can identify who they want to deal with and how they can show them. But what we haven't really covered, and I would love to dig into this more, is how do we actually communicate with the prospect? How do we have them find out about us? How do we talk to them? What sort of mediums are we using? You know, assuming we can hang all our messaging around our differentiation, what's the actual vehicle that gets us in front of the customer?
Well, I mean, the way we get in front of the customer is basically by marketing. That's really the vehicle that drives all of this business. You know, I think Dan Kennedy said it best where he said, you know, we're in the business of marketing our services, not doing our services. And that's really where the rubber hits the road. You know, you can spend all this time deciding on a niche to go into and, you know, setting up all your criteria and your filters and building a pretty website and all this kind of stuff. But until you actually start putting marketing campaigns out into the market and, you know, driving traffic to your website, putting direct mail campaigns, you know, to a list of people, until you start doing that, you haven't really done anything to grow your business. And frankly, this is where a lot of people really get stuck, because it's a huge mental leap for people to start promoting themselves. You know, it's a real big jump from sitting at home in your office saying, you know, I'm a marketing expert, to actually putting a piece of paper out and sending it to someone saying, I'm a marketing expert and I guarantee I can help grow your business. It's a really big step. The lady I was talking about before is just specialized herself. She was telling me how, you know, she felt sick the night before she was sending out the letters, you know, worrying about what these people might say, you know, calling her bluff, knowing that she's, you know, only just getting started, all this kind of stuff. And so it's a big mental leap for a lot of people to get past this. And so, you know, the thing I suggest to people is just get something out there, you know, just send, even if you sent like a one-page letter to a prospect and just said, look, I've had a look at your website and I noticed a couple of ways I can help you get more business. Give me a call on this number. If people just started doing that and did it on a consistent basis, they'd start generating leads. They'd start getting opportunities to have conversations with business owners. And frankly, a lot of the time, that's all it takes is a simple conversation. You know, when you're enthusiastic about what you do, when you've got a clear statement about who you are and who you can help, you know, the problems you help them solve, the specific results you can help them generate. You get in a conversation with these people and they get caught up in it. And so, and that all starts from having these marketing systems in place and basically just doing the marketing on a day-to-day basis. One of the first questions I ask my consulting students when they come to me, they're always asking, you know, how can I get leads? How can I get more clients? And I, my first question is always, well, what marketing have you done today? And usually it's nothing. And I say, okay, well, what marketing have you done this week? And most of the time it's nothing. I say, okay, what about this month? And occasionally they've tried, you know, maybe one strategy in the past month. And that's really the core of the problem, is that people aren't marketing themselves enough and they're not doing it consistently. Like they'll try a direct mail campaign once and it won't generate the results they were hoping and they'll give up. And so I think all of this stems from just having good habits around marketing yourself consistently.
Right. So I can certainly relate to that call reluctance or feeling of someone calling you bluff when I started. And it was particularly hard for me to record something or to put myself on video out on the internet at one point. But after you get over that resistance, it just becomes, as you said, a habit. All right, I like to think of it as a routine. And then, you know, try stopping me publishing stuff. You know, I'm like a content machine now because I've overcome this fear that someone won't like it. I know someone won't like it. I know some of the material won't be read or whatever, but I'm not personally offended by it. But you're right. The reason people aren't buying things from a lot of consultants is because they don't know they exist. All right. I want
exactly.
to talk about, tell me about the balance between, I guess it's almost a trap. We're sitting there at our desk behind the computer. What sort of changes do we need to make, or what action steps would we have? If we had a blank whiteboard sitting beside our computer here, what two or three items would be right on our checklist that we should go away and do after we listen to this call if we want to go from a theoretical business service to an actual customer paying us money in the bank, we're in motion service?
Look, I'll tell you the biggest reality check that you can do for yourself, and this has really been a wake-up call for a lot of people that I've spoken to, is to, everyone talks about goal setting and, you know, have your goal for your business. And most people say, yeah, I want to have a, you know, a six-figure consulting business. The most powerful thing you can do is take that goal that you want to do, you know, $100,000 in the next year, and start breaking it down until you've got, you know, a daily figure. So you know exactly how much money you need to generate each day. Also break it down, you know, look at, okay, well, if my average client value is going to be $5,000, break it down and figure out how many clients you need to generate over the course of the year. And then break that down, figure out how many clients you need each month, each week. And then you can start to play with some numbers and figure out, okay, well, if I need, for example, you know, two clients this week to hit my income targets for the end of the year, and I convert, just say, you know, 10% of consultations into clients, that means I need to be doing, you know, 10 to 20 consultations this week to hit my targets. So breaking down those big picture goals that kind of are always out there in the future and bring it down to a daily target that you have. So you can look at your whiteboard and say, okay, I need to generate two leads today to, you know, on average, be able to hit my income targets for the end of the year. And then your daily actions are either taking you towards getting those two leads or they're not. And the reason this is so powerful is because people put that, you know, $100,000 number up on their whiteboard, and it's so big and it's so far in the future that you can kind of always kid yourself that you're making progress. You know, you can sit there playing with your website and tinkering with the colors and the fonts, and you can spend time in the forums, you know, learning about different strategies and buying new products. And that $100,000 goal is always out there in the future. And, you know, you can do nothing today and sort of do a little bit more tomorrow and you'll catch yourself up. But it's not until you realize how many leads you need to generate on a daily basis and how quickly you fall behind if you don't start generating those leads, that it really becomes real. And you can really, you know, kick yourself in the bum and say, okay, well, you know, I haven't generated any leads this week. I'm already, you know, 20 leads behind where I need to be to hit my targets. And that's where it comes down to, you know, that real reality check where it's like, okay, I know what my daily and weekly goals are, and I haven't done anything this week to achieve them. I need to either get serious about this business and start making it real and do something to get those leads, or, you know, frankly, you should probably give up, because otherwise you're wasting your time, you're wasting your energy. You know, you're better off spending that time hanging out with your friends and family rather than just, you know, having this pretend business that you keep talking about but don't ever make real.
That's it. I think a lot of people get attached to the idea and the excitement and the hope that the business brings, but then reality sets in when the credit card bill arrives and the water rates and the telephone bills need paying. You can't pay for those on hope and imagination. You've got to hit the pedal to the metal. You know, yeah, it's a really interesting thing. Okay, so just a quick recap. We've covered the most common mistakes of not knowing who you're dealing with, not differentiating, and then not actually telling one about it. So they're things you could put on the checklist. It could be identify what makes you special, commit yourself to an action plan of reaching out to these customers once you know that, using multiple marketing channels. And you know, you've got an idea of what your daily run rate is. So setting a daily metric. I love that. You know, most of the people that I work with have gotten past those phases and they're into the stage where they've got the second part of the business. And I'd love to just touch on this because not many people talk about it. And I think that's why I've become a specialist in it. It's the actual back end of the business, because what we're talking about so far is front of house. But I am interested in back of house. What sort of challenges and difficulties have you seen service consultants facing when they've actually got the business and they are popular and they know who they are and their marketing's working? What sort of stumbling blocks do people have? And let's see if we can address a couple of things and give some tips there as well.
I'd say the biggest one that I see coming up time and time again is losing that balance between growing your own business and doing the client work. So what happens is it's that feast or famine type of syndrome where you put some marketing campaigns out into the world, or you go to your networking events and start generating leads, and all of a sudden you take on two or three clients very quickly, and suddenly all you can focus on is delivering for those clients. You know, you want to get them the results, you want to make sure that you sort of over deliver for them, and have some great testimonials and case studies, and you completely forget to continue marketing your own business. And sooner or later, the leads start drying up. Those sources that you went to before have now gone cold. And before you know it, you've finished the work for these two or three clients and you've got nothing else in the pipeline. So this is the single biggest problem I see everyone goes through at one stage or another. And so, the way you get around that is just being disciplined. Again, having good routines and habits around marketing your own business, making it a daily thing or a specific day each week where all you do is grow your business. For example, for me on a Monday, that's my day. Monday is my day where all I do is work on my business. I don't do much with my consulting students. I don't do anything with clients. It's purely for my business. So no matter what else happens during the week, I know I've spent a good, 4-hour work day on proactive things to grow my business. So that's definitely the biggest problem I see is just finding that balance. And every freelancer and every independent consultant and most business owners I've ever worked with have had that issue. I think the second thing is a lot of people, especially in our industry, they feel like they need to know it all. They need to know how the SEO is done. They need to become an expert at the PPC. They need to know how to install WordPress and all these really low-level technical things. And so when they first start getting clients, they want to do all the work. They can see that they can make more money by doing that and not outsourcing. They feel like they want to learn it all. And again, they get stuck in this technical stuff where they really should spend that time marketing themselves. And so I think it's important to have outsource providers in place and have systems in place so that all you're doing is project managing. That's the ideal first starting point for a consultant, is just to be managing the project, managing the relationship, managing the project, and your outsourcers do all the technical work so that you can focus the majority of your time on the marketing stuff and on actually growing the business, which is, like we said right at the start of the call, that's really where the actual business is. It's in growing the business. If you're not growing the business, you don't really have a business.
I love that. When I'm consulting to somebody and I spot a very high profit margin, I know that they're actually a high paid web developer and not a marketing professional. They're not building their business. So do you have any sort of metrics or ideal profit ratios that you look for to get an assessment on whether a business is a technician or actually a real business?
Somewhere in the range of 2-1 seems to be some kind of sweet spot where, you just say you've got $5,000 of income coming in, about half of that is going out the door immediately. But it really does vary. I mean, many parts of my business, it's more like 90% profit margin. In others, it's much smaller than that. Part of this is also going to come down to the exact business model you've got, you know, whether you're more of a reseller with everything being automated, where your profit margins might be, you know, 5 or 10%. So that there is a lot of variety in there. But I think, you know, if your profit margins are too high, you've just got more money that you should be investing in marketing and, you know, spending that money kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree the more informational aspect of it, or more automated or leveraged, the higher the margin will be. But the services businesses, a lot of the things we're doing still rely on human labor. And that, for that reason, I think about half of your income might go back into the business to fuel it or to supply inventory or stock or resources. But that's okay. And, you know, a simple exercise is to say, well, if you are making $500,000 in sales and $250,000 of it went back to other people, but your main role was just doing the things you like, that's still a $250,000 income. And if you're bringing in $5 million and you spent even three of that in marketing and infrastructure and growing a decent business, you're still keeping $2 million of that before tax. So that's where, you know, it's quite a mental leap, I think, for a lot of people to let go of trying to do the website and trying to integrate the autoresponder and setting up conversion testing and stuff. Really, I don't think you're going to get past a low six-figure business until you let go of the tools. And that's certainly the biggest thing I've seen when people get into that more mature zone. Hey, I wanted to just find out from you, what do you think someone should do when they put down the earbuds from this call? You know, what would be today's action item? Just keep it down to one thing.
I think that's going to depend on where you're at right now. Obviously, some people who are listening to this are possibly brand new to internet marketing and, you know, never even considered going down the consulting and local business services route. Others are probably, you know, dipping their toe in the water and haven't got any clients. And I'm sure we've got a couple of people on the call who are, you know, got multi-million-dollar businesses. So everyone's going to be in a different position. And I think a bit of thinking goes a long way. I think a lot of people jump into taking random action too quickly. So I would have a think about all the different things we've talked about on the call today. You know, have a look at the notes that you've taken and start putting together a plan of the direction you want to go. If you're just getting started, have a think about, you know, your past experience, the knowledge and skills you've got. And think about the type of business you want to create. You know, what would your USP be if you were going to go into this business of being a local business consultant? What would your USP be? What services would you provide? What solutions to problems would you provide? You know, which niches would you go into? And start planning that out. If you're currently, you know, doing the consulting thing and it's not working out as well as you want, we've probably given you half a different reasons why that could potentially be. So have a look at you know, what you think the actual reasons are, whether it's that you haven't specialized enough, whether it's that you're simply not marketing yourself hard enough, whether you have got caught in that trap of doing the work and not marketing yourself consistently, and work out a plan to get to that next level. I think that's really the key. Is I talk about this a lot on some of my coaching calls, is that people have kind of, they want to give up having to think too much. They want everyone else just to give them the answers and lay out a path for them, and everything needs to be a step-by-step way to, you know, achieve their goals. And, you know, that's not how it was for me. It's not how it was for you. It's not how it was for just about anyone I know who's been successful. You know, we can give people a step-by-step sort of general guideline, but in terms of actually implementing those steps, there's a whole bunch of thinking that needs to go along, especially if you want to create something that's right for you. You know, you don't want to follow someone else's plan and suddenly find out a year later that you've created a six-figure business that wasn't what you wanted to do, and you're trapped doing things that you don't want to do. So I think it's really important to think, you know, just step back for a moment. Forget about, you know, your money troubles. Forget about the fact that you need to pay your rent tomorrow, you get kicked out of the house. And just step back and think about what you actually want to create and what would the logical next steps be to doing that. And, you know, if you're not sure what they are, you can seek out a coach or a mentor, or, you know, there's plenty of resources available right here on your site.
I love it. I'm sort of thinking of a metaphor around that, where it's like a car. You know, when you buy a car, it comes with an instruction manual. It says, you know, put foot on accelerator to move, put foot on brake to stop, you know. But what you do with it, it's really, you're going to have to make some big decisions. And if you're not capable of that, you probably should just catch the bus like like all the other people who just want to buy a ticket, hop on the bus, and it goes where it goes, and you don't have a say in it. So if you really want to take control of this, yeah, I love that. You've got to think. So today's action item is a planning session. Now, is it true that you did a big planning session and summarized all of your notes from your community and your students and put on a little bit of a boot camp and sort of covered the big key topics?
Yeah, so my focus for the last year or two really has been the coaching aspect of what I do. You know, I've obviously got information products out there that teach people, you know, what to do. And I found really where people struggle is in actually how to do it. It's in actually the day-to-day things of, you know, overcoming their own internal limiting beliefs and internal resistance. So a big focus for me has been the coaching aspect. And earlier in the year, I went through all my notes from about 12 months of coaching calls, plus dozens and dozens of these one-on-one calls I do with our students. Literally, it was like 230 pages of my handwritten notes from about 100 hours of calls. And I just condensed that all down into a two-day event that I held for some of my VIP clients. And that was just a fantastic event, basically just going through all the different key things that have been breakthroughs for different people that helped them get from either struggling to, you know, having a business that was making money, or from having a business that was making some money to really taking it to that, you know, six or seven figure level. And that's what I focused on at that event. I had a special guest come in for the first time at one of my events, John Logar. He revealed some of his sort of fast prospecting strategies. He's doing some crazy numbers, you know, just some using LinkedIn, answering questions, generating $40,000 in 4 weeks. Building his own little sort of experiment site and generating $63,000 in 7 weeks. Just some like crazy, crazy numbers. I had him come in and basically lay out exactly what he'd been doing, how he'd been doing it and everything like that. And we recorded all that stuff. And I'm actually in the process at the moment of building that into a membership site where people can access all the recordings and the workbook and everything from that event. It's nothing fancy. You know, there's no big production or anything like that. It's basically me sitting at my desk going through my notes line by line, sort of analyzing each of the points, answering people's questions. Look, I think if you feel like you're a bit stuck at the moment, or you feel like your business is stagnated, or you're not really sure what direction you want to go, maybe you're not generating as many leads as you like, or you're not able to get the high paying clients that you want, then, you know, this breakthrough consulting bootcamp I did is probably the direction that you want to be looking, because there's a whole bunch of knowledge and experience crammed into this thing. I'm really, really proud of it. It's probably my favorite event that I've done so far.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to put a link to that. I'm sure it'll be up soon. And yeah, gotta love John Logar. I think he's publicly credited you and me for helping him with his journey. Now, for listeners, if you want to hang out with Kyle, then certainly join any of his programs where you'll get access to him. And I also hope you can join FastWeb Formula, where Kyle and John hang out and answer questions as well. I really appreciate you sharing this stuff. It's such a good thing. And I suspect we'll be talking about this for many years to come, you know, because it's been 4 or 5 years so far. And I feel like we're only just getting started in this market.
Oh, mate, it's true. I mean, I've been doing consulting in one way or another for about 13 years now, and people keep asking me, you know, when's it going to be saturated? When's it going to stop? And, you know, it's just not going to. I'm here for the long haul. I've been teaching my program for about 4 years, I think, now, and I'll be teaching it for another 4 years. So I'm really excited for the next round of students to come through.
Kyle Tully, the consulting tycoon, it's great to catch up. I'll speak to you soon.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.